Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Fellows and girls, hear that sound? It's the terrific pulsating roar of a racing motor. It's the shriek of racing tires traveling at 100, 120, faster than 150 miles an hour. For nearly 24 consecutive hours, that car has been hurtling around the track, longer than any car has ever traveled at such speed before. Who's at the wheel? A real champion, you can bet. A record-breaking driver that has probably traveled farther in an automobile than any other man. Over 1,500,000 miles. He's recognized as the safest driver in the world. It's Ab Jenkins of Salt Lake City. Yes, it's a fact. Ab Jenkins has ridden in almost every kind of racing car, from a lightweight doodlebug to a streamlined airplane engine-powered car. And in years of speed driving, he has never had a single accident. Ab tells us this is mainly because he has good nerves and because, now get this, fellows and girls, because he keeps in training. You can see for yourself, in just about every kind of sport, including auto racing, it's true that training helps build champions. And Ab Jenkins personally recommends that you follow the three easy training rules that I'm going to give you right now. First, get plenty of fresh air, sleep, and exercise. Second, use lots of soap and water every day to help yourself keep clean and well. Third, eat a genuine athlete's training breakfast in the morning. A heaping bowl full of Wheaties, those tasty flakes of good, nourishing whole wheat with lots of milk or cream and a glass of fruit juice. Ab Jenkins himself says, I'm in favor of Jack Armstrong's training rules for any fellow or girl who wants to improve at sports. And this champion speed driver goes on to say, if you ask me what I think of Wheaties for breakfast, I say swell. I've found that whole wheat is a mighty good food. And in Wheaties, you get this important grain in crispy flakes that taste like a million. Wheaties with plenty of milk or cream and fruit are a real breakfast of champions. Now, why don't you take a tip from Ab Jenkins? Get into the swing of championship training with a breakfast of champions tomorrow morning. And to do that, you'll want to ask for Wheaties. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Jack and Uncle Jim have located the submerged reef in the Sulu Sea where Professor Loring's yacht sank with a quantity of precious uranium-235 aboard. They spotted it by going aloft in their autogyro. Now they are back on board their schooner Spindrift with Billy and Betty and the Filipino Michelle approaching the hidden reef. As they sail along over the smooth, sunlit seas in a light breeze, they are also keeping an eye on the horizon for any sign of the power schooner Black Shark, which, with Dr. Chapatto and Blackbeard and a band of ruffians aboard, is following to rob them of the valuable uranium. Right now, Uncle Jim is at the wheel, and Betty and Michelle are on the lookout at the bow of the schooner. Jack and Billy have put all diving equipment on deck and are getting everything ready to commence diving operations as soon as they reach the sunken yacht. Listen.
Look, Billy, I think Betty's right. See how the long ocean swells get a little steeper right ahead of us?
I can see it all right, Jack, but if I didn't know what to look for, I'd never spot that for a submerged reef.
We're almost there, Jack. How are you coming along with that diving equipment?
Everything's in order, Uncle Jim. The two diving suits are laid up, the air pump is working, and the air lines are all ready to fasten.
Good. How about the three-way telephone set?
All three telephones are working, Uncle Jim. I've connected one in each diving suit so we can talk to each other while we're diving. And Billy can have one set clamped to his head while he's working the air pump.
Jiminy, Jack, I couldn't stand the suspense up here on deck if I couldn't talk to you and Uncle Jim while you were diving.
It's going to make me feel better to be able to talk to you, Billy. I bet it's going to be sort of eerie down below the ocean, searching through the ship.
You can tell me about the sharks you see playing around, Jack.
Well, that's all right. You can tell me about the black shark when she appears over the horizon.
Holy smoke, I hope the black shark doesn't show up while you and Uncle Jim are diving.
Now, it'll take her a long time to get here, even after she comes in view. Hey, look up there at Betty. She and Michelle must see the beginnings of the reef.
I think we're getting pretty close, Uncle Jim.
Jack, go forward and see if you can see any sign of the reef yet. Let me know in time to bring the schooner about.
Aye, aye, Uncle Jim. Billy, you stay here to help Uncle Jim with the sheets.
Okay, Jack. Don't let us run up on that reef.
That'd suit the Black Shark fine, wouldn't it? But I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Oh, hurry, Jack. I think we're getting awful close.
We're not too close yet, Betty. This water is so clear, we can see pretty far down. What do you see, Michelle?
Me see nothing yet, Senor Jack. But water look different.
It does look different, doesn't it? It's a little darker, and the waves aren't so long between crests.
Oh, I'm afraid we might strike the reef before we see it, Jack.
No chance of that, Betty. Look how clear the water is. We can look down for at least 15 feet.
Maybe reef come up sudden, then too late. No time for Uncle Jim bring boat about.
The spindrift will turn on a dime, Michelle. Wait a minute. Look ahead of us. She's shoaling fast. Uncle Jim, reef, dead ahead.
Hardly. Watch your seat, Billy. We're coming about.
Aye, aye, sir.
Oh, my, but that reef appeared suddenly.
We're all right now, Betty. We're sailing parallel to the reef now. Why, that reef sticks up underwater like a brick wall.
Is that coral reef, Senor Jack, not brick wall?
I know it's a coral reef, Michelle. I'm just surprised that it stands up so straight. Why, if a ship hit the reef and sank, she might slide back into hundreds of feet of water.
But Professor Loring's yacht didn't slide into hundreds of feet of water, Jack. You said you could see it from the autogyro.
It's resting on a ledge of the reef, Betty, about 30 feet down.
Well, then we ought to see it soon.
No, it's on the other side of the reef, Betty. Here comes Billy running forward. I wonder what's the matter.
Oh, I hope he hasn't seen the Black Shark.
I don't think he has. Hi, Billy. What's the trouble?
Uncle Jim says he thinks the sunken yacht is on the other side of the reef, Jack.
That's right, Billy, it is.
But he says it's a long reef, and he doesn't want to sail all the way around it. You're to watch the reef and let him know if there's an opening we can go through.
We'll all watch it, Billy. There's no place to get through here. The reef comes to within 4 feet of the surface. See how clearly it stands out under the water?
Look, Jack, it's getting a little deeper now.
Yeah, it is getting deeper, Betty. If it keeps on, we can cut right across it.
Jumping, Jiminy, it's almost deep enough now, Jack.
Yep, we can make it now, Billy. Uncle Jim, luff up to kill headway. Billy, run back and tell Uncle Jim that if he comes about, he can cut across the reef.
Okay, Jack.
It's not very deep here, Senor Jack.
It's deep enough for us, Michelle. We only draw 6 feet. It wouldn't be deep enough for the Black Shark.
Oh, I still don't see any sign of the Black Shark, Jack. Do you?
She's somewhere on the horizon, Betty. Watch out for that Jim. Uncle Jim's going to bring the spindrift about.
I'm going right across the reef, Jack. Keep a sharp lookout.
I will, Uncle Jim. There's enough water here.
Jack, it's getting terribly shallow.
It just looks that way because the water's so clear, Betty. See? We're passing over the narrow reef now. We'll be across in half a jiffy.
Will there be any sharks here, Michelle?
Maybe sharks, Senorita Betty. Maybe no sharks.
The only shark I'm worried about is the Black Shark, Betty. There, we've passed over the reef.
Look, Jack. What's that dark thing under the water to our right?
Where, Betty?
There.
Oh, that's the ship. That's Professor Loring's wrecked yacht.
Oh,
Uncle Jim,
boy,
look over there.
Boy,
there's the sunken ship.
I see it, Jack. I'm coming about. Stand by to let go of the anchor.
Watch it, Billy. We're coming about again. Help me get the anchor unlashed, quick.
I'll take this lashing, Jack. You work on that one.
Right. You want to be ready to throw the anchor overboard the instant we get over the sunken ship.
Are you ready, Jack? I want to anchor as near the wrecked ship as we can.
Just a second, Uncle Jim.
Oh, look, Jack. I can see part of the ship underneath the water right ahead of us.
We'll be right over in half a jiffy, Betty. The anchor's all clear, Uncle Jim. Say when.
Where do you see that we're directly over the ship, Jack? Then let her go.
We're almost over the yacht now, Jack.
Hold it, Billy. Uncle Jim is luffing up to kill our speed. Stand by now.
I'm all set, Jack. How about it?
Okay. Over she goes. You make the anchor line fast, Betty. Billy and I have to run to the stern and throw over the stern anchor.
All right, Jack. I'll make it fast.
Come on, Billy. Let's get that stern anchor overboard.
Gosh, Jack. It's hard to believe that at last we're right over Professor Loring's yacht.
I won't believe anything until we finally get that uranium aboard, Billy.
Put the stern hook over now, Jack. I've unlashed it.
Watch that coil of line, Billy. I'll throw the anchor over.
I'll make it fast, Jack. Gosh, we're anchored just where we want to be.
Take down the mainsail, you two. I'll go forward and help Betty and Michelle take down the jib and float.
Come on, Billy. Every moment is precious.
How long will it take to rig up the diving equipment, Jack?
Not very long, Billy. Everything's all laid out. After we get these sails down, we'll be overboard before you know it.
Oh, you'd better not be. After all, I've got to pump the air down for you.
Don't bother to tie up the sails, Jack. If the Black Shark shows up, we may want to get away in a hurry.
All right, Uncle Jim. There we are, Billy. Now let's get to that diving equipment.
Okay, Jack. Michelle and I will help you and Uncle Jim get into your diving suit.
Well, Jack, are you all ready to go beneath the waves?
It won't take long, Uncle Jim. This is your diving suit here. I'll start getting into mine.
We'll need some help when we put on our helmets.
Boy, I wish we had three suits. I'd like to go down to the wreck, too.
Nothing doing, Billy. Jack and I have been down in diving suits before. It takes a little while to get the knack of it. Besides, you and Betty have to pump air to us.
What me do, huh?
You've got plenty to do, Michelle. You've got to keep an eye out for sharks. You've got to scare them away from us.
Me scare sharks away, all right, all right. If no scare, me jump over. Me jump over with long knife. Me fix them.
Jack, is there really any danger of sharks?
There's always danger of sharks in these waters.
There's not much danger, Betty. Sharks only hang out where there's food for them. There's not much food on an isolated reef like this.
These diving shoes are certainly heavy. Listen to him when I take a step.
It's a good thing there is plenty of lead in those shoes, Jack. Otherwise, you couldn't walk about when you get down to the wreck.
I put the rope ladder over the side, Jack.
Yeah, but you've forgotten the line, Billy. The line with the weight at the end of it. How are we going to climb up and down without that line?
Here's the line, Uncle Jim. Shall I drop it overboard?
Drop it overboard right by the rope ladder, Betty. And be sure it's made well fast to that cleat on deck. That line is mighty important.
I'll drop it overboard and make it fast, Uncle Jim.
Are you all ready for your helmet, Jack? Can I put it on you?
Just a minute, Billy. Make sure those airline connections are tight.
Oh, they're good and tight, Jack. I just checked them.
Let's check the telephone line, too, Jack. Hand me that helmet, Betty. Good. I'll talk into the phone, Jack.
How is this? Does it come over clearly?
It comes over like a loudspeaker, Uncle Jim. I'll talk into mine.
Can you hear this?
I should say I could. Now, one thing more, Billy, before we put on our helmets. Let's make sure we understand signals in case the telephone gets out of order.
I haven't forgotten them, Uncle Jim. Two tugs on the air lines means that you want us to pump the air faster. Three tugs means that your lines are fouled somewhere below, and in that case, you want Michelle to dive down and help you.
That's right, Billy. But we'll hope that the telephone lines don't get out of order. Now, let's check our equipment. Where's that axe we're taking with us?
Here it is, Uncle Jim.
Good. You got your knife with you, Jack? Your underwater flashlight? You'll need it below.
I've got it, Uncle Jim.
Now, where's that line with the grappling hook on it? If we find that uranium-235, it's going to be too heavy for Jack and me to bring back.
Here it is, Uncle Jim.
I don't want it now, Billy. I'll telephone you when I want you to drop it down to us. Don't forget to pay out plenty of slack in both airlines and lifelines. We may have to go through the ship when we get down there, and we'll need lots of slack to prevent fouling our airlines.
We'll give you all the slack you need, Uncle Jim.
And don't forget to keep an eye out for the black shark, Billy. She may be showing up above the horizon at any moment.
Oh, you bet I won't, Jack. If we see her, we'll let you know right away.
Well, that covers everything, I guess. Billy, when Jack and I put on our helmets, you've got to check them to see that they're clamped tight against the corselet of the diving suit. All right, Jack. Let's put on our headgear.
Here goes, Billy. As soon as I get this helmet on, we'll have to talk to each other through the telephone.
Now, I'll check the helmet for you, Jack.
Michelle, start that pump going.
Can you hear me all right, Billy?
I'll say I can, but you sound like a foghorn with a sore throat. There. Your helmet's all right now.
Check my helmet, Billy.
It seems to be all right, Uncle Jim. Nope. I can get it a little bit tighter. There you are.
Well, Jack, we're all set to go down to the ship. I'll go over the side first. When you come overboard, always keep to the right of me. That way we won't get our lines fouled.
Okay, Uncle Jim. I'll wait until you get to the wreck before I go overboard.
That's right. Keep Michelle working at that air pump, Billy. Here I go overside. And when we come up, let's hope we've found what we came after.
Uncle Jim has gone over the side, and Jack is just about to follow him down to the sunken yacht on that submerged reef. I don't have to tell you fellas and girls that there's an especially exciting time ahead, what with looking for the lost uranium and perhaps a few sharks playing about, and above all, the chance that Shapato and his crew are speeding to the reef just as fast as a black shark can take them. You certainly won't want to miss all that, so listen in, all of you, at this same time tomorrow to another thrilling episode of The Adventure of the Sunken Reef, with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, don't let anything keep you from following a regular athlete's training program all winter long. Have a heaping bowl full of Wheaties for breakfast, Wheaties with milk, and a glass of fruit juice. That breakfast of champions is tops in good eating. You'll like it. I know you will.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand.